Okay, so we were in the middle of discussing Arba Chashuvim Kemeit, and we noted that, right, so the Gemara says that there are four who are considered, like, dead, people who are blind, poor, childless, or have tzara'at. And we noted you could just take that piecemeal, right, each of them are dead for different reasons, you could take it as just, like, these are really, really bad. Last week we saw one attempt by Rav Udi Schwartz, to suggest that maybe they are, is just the guy who's with me in the kollel? No, he's Israeli. Suggest that maybe, right, it's all about being cut off socially. We noted that you could, right, now he thinks that all those people are actually themselves cut off socially, right? They're people who are childless or in many ways cut off from maybe they have yet to form full relationships with their spouse, evidence from Rachel and what she's worried about, right? And that Leah, right? I mean, the Leah-Rachel dynamic proves that the norm is that having children builds the relationship. Yeah. The fact that it didn't do that for Leah and didn't hurt the relationship between Yaakov and Rachel is what is invoked by the Gemara as the proof text that Rachel said, right, v'may meita anochi. You could take it differently and say all these, right, you don't have to take it that tightly, right? You could say all of them have to do with lacking something fundamental in terms of your social interactions. It could be that poor people lack influence. Childless people lack continuity, right? You could say that, yeah, it's all social, but it's
different,
right?
Different,
right? I mean, that's somewhere in between, right? You can be totally piecemeal, totally one coherent thought, or say, look, they're all, you know, they're slightly different, but within one. So if you just turn to the last page, I gave you a few things from the Masifta altogether, because they quote, like, random sources that it's just easier to quote from them than to try to find the original. Quote as well, the Einei Yitzchak, who goes in the direction, the more expansive direction of Udi Schwartz, which is the Misha Ein L'Chavirim Chashuv Kemeit, Kemoshe Gemara Misaber Eitzel Chonia Me'agel Shemar Chavruto Mitutz. So he combines this, and this is something we've seen methodologically, that sometimes even to understand Agadata, it helps to see it in light of other Agadatot. And another person that is, according to the Gemara, in some way dead, though it doesn't phrase it that way, is someone who lacks friends. Right? The Gemara doesn't say someone who has no friends is dead. What does the Gemara say? Right? O Chavruto O Mituta. Right, El Chavrusa O Mitzusa. Right, Choni Amagel says, if, right, remember the story of Choni Amagel? I'm sure you heard this as a child. Choni, the circle maker. Right? So, there's two parts to it. So,
I don't remember what it was.
It's Chav Gimel.
Oh, with the rain, right?
So, part of it is the rain, but there's also the Rumpelstiltskin moment, right? Where he falls asleep for 70 years because he says, what does it mean, Hayinu Kachomim? And he wakes up 70 years later, right? Carob trees, which take 70 years, right? And when he tries to convince everybody that he is Choni Ma'agel, they say, it's not true, and then he davens to God to kill him, because he says, O Chavruta O Mituta, right? Either friendship or death.
Wait, what was the...
Doesn't his grandson come up to him?
What was that puzzle?
It's a puzzle in Shira Malot,
yeah.
Right? So he said, how could it be that you're like dreamers for 70 years? Right? Can a person sleep for 70 years?
Right?
And he takes it hyper-literally. Can you sleep for 70 years? And God says, yes. Look, you will sleep for 70 years and you will wake up. Right? That the galut is essentially like a dream. Right? That's what he's... Right? Meaning, the way he reads it is... Right? Hayinu kecholmim. If the galut is 7 years and when we got back, we were kecholmim. That means that galut was like a dream, which means that you could be asleep for 70 years. Right? He doesn't understand this, so God makes him sleep 70 years, wake up. And at that point, only, right, his kids are dead, right? So only his one of his grandchildren he runs into, Abachilkia, right?
Abachilkia, right?
What?
Rip Van Winkle.
Not Rumpelstiltskin, right? Rip Van Winkle. I was like, which? Not Rumpelstiltskin, Rip Van Winkle. Thank you. Rip Van Winkle moment.
Yeah.
Whatever. I gotta go for my American.
Or Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, whatever. But Rip Van Winkle has this moment, you know, where he, like, falls asleep under a tree, whatever.
He's his grandchild.
Yeah, yeah, anyways.
What?
So he says, if that's the case, that you already see that Chazal have not in a different type of a godic sense, meaning someone saying that he'd rather die than lack social interaction. So suggest based on that, that could explain these, that all these who are Chash of Kemet are because they lack, in some sense, chavruta, right? They lack friendship. And the way he puts it is that ani. So he quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, the Kolache Rash Soneyu, that people hate poor people, which yeah, whatever that means, right? People, right? They're nebuch, or they don't want to. They avoid them, so they don't have to support them. Meaning, it cuts them off in some way from. So right, right. Dalmeir yipared mitzora. We know that, right? Badad yashev yichutz lamachaneh. That's easy. Suma, he like literally can't see his friends, right? And again, he also takes the direction. Someone who has no children is mivuzeh, right? Is already in this life, is looked upon askance, right? Not just that he has no continuity. And again, there is some truth to this, even in, you know, whether you like it or not, and, you know, you may not like it, right? Especially in a world which is built around family, and built, you know, think about how, again, there's been a lot of talk in the last, however many, you know, not, in the last few years, of people trying to figure out how do we integrate single people or people who, like not like single people like you in your 20s, or not even 20, but people who, right, never get married, or people who get married and never have children, how do we integrate them into our community better? Because realistically, so much of our religion is built around family, and so much of our social interaction is built around family. You know, it's just true, right? Meaning, there's certain things, what are you going to do? You're not going to not have the, you know, Purim kids carnival, because it makes people who don't have kids feel bad, right? They are, and they're also not going to show up, but they're not going to show up to the carnival because it's awkward,
right?
Like it's not untrue, right? There's certain things that you're not going to be able to change, or certain things you can change, right? You know, right?
Festival.
What? I mean, you could, right? You could have a second one, right? You could have, right? That's what we had in Dagon, right? In Dagon, we had that.
Fall festival is going to be what we had for 4 years.
No, so I was actually worried about that, but in Dagon, we had that. We had on Purim night, we had a party, Limivugarim Bilvad Bili Yeladim, right? For adults without children. And there was alcohol, but it wasn't like drunk. It was like, yeah, there was wine and whatever, but it was.
You don't have to say anyway at nighttime.
So yeah, no, it was a social, it was like a. You know, it was a social thing, whatever. You can drink wine. I drink wine not only on, you know, for all I don't like getting drunk, I do drink wine. I know you got like the wrong thing here. I actually like wine a lot.
With me at the soda that
right? Like, I am a wine person.
No, this is different. You like wine. You don't even like wine.
No, like, I do like wine. I definitely like wine. Okay, fine. But yes, so certain things you can do. But again, the fact that we have to go out of our way to do this points out that just the way our communities are structured, guys, it just means the ways that our communities are structured, it does make sense that someone who doesn't have children is going to be excluded from some things. It's not as a good thing, but when the Gemara describes this, they're not saying this as a they're not saying this prescriptively, they're saying this descriptively. Right? They're not saying it should be that way, but it is, right? We're not saying that poor people should have no influence. We all know that the reality is they have less influence than people who have
great stories of that.
What?
Exceptions.
There are exceptions. Sure, there are exceptions, right?
I know.
Hitler was an exception.
Yeah.
Huh?
Hitler was an exception. He was broke, poor, trying to sell.
There are exceptions. That's not the point.
About the government, how they're terrible.
Look, listen.
When he was rich, he was.
He wasn't rich, never rich.
Of course he was.
When he was
Chancellor of Germany.
When he became Chancellor.
Yeah, and that's when he had influence.
In 1933.
All right, before guys.
Look,
right, Chancellor.
Sure, Gandhi had influence even though he remained an ascetic till the end of his days. Fine, it happens.
Socrates.
It is possible. It's just not often the case, right? Again, Chazal can say that's a bad thing. That doesn't mean they're not going to describe the reality, right? It's you have to be very careful. Right? Describing reality is necessary if you want to fix social ills. Denying that they exist because they are unfair, right?
Doesn't make any sense.
Is not going to help you, is not going to get you anywhere. Right? So we can say it is bad that people with money are the only people with influence, but if you deny the fact that people who are poor and, I don't know, you know, yes, certain people manage to get it because they are exceptional, because they have other skills that allow them to have influence, like they have a vicious pen, right? Right? And they are journalists with a tremendous amount of influence, right? There are people like that, right? Sure, you could be the head of WikiLeaks and have a lot of influence living in your, wherever you live, right? I forget where Assange is. Assange, how do you pronounce his name? Yeah, whatever. You can be on the run, not be allowed to live in any country, not have that much money, but, you know, control tremendous amount of damaging information and have influence. I didn't say positive influence, enough people like you, right? But still, influence. Shy. Okay. So now, there are two more things I want to do on, like two more types of things I want to do in this sugya, and you tell me which one you do first. One is to bring it into conversation with some other agadot, just very quickly. And the other is to say, okay, to see how some poskim have taken this as a halachic gemara as well as a hashkafic one. So which do you want first?
Discussion.
Okay, so let's do the halachic one. If we don't get to the other one, it's not the biggest deal. Okay, so here's a few attempts. Okay, some of them I find more compelling than others. Okay, the first one, at least in theory, I find a compelling model. Even though I'm not sure I'm convinced by its conclusion, I find a compelling model, okay? I'll say it outside, then we'll look at it inside. The first one was a shaila that was asked. If I need to prioritize my tzedakah funds, and I want, and the choices are, I have a particular penchant for funding fertility research, right, or fertility, you know, whatever, the fertility wing of the hospital, and the research to prevent blindness, right? Because I feel like, based on the Gemara, childlessness and blindness are particularly bad situations. Where should I prioritize my funds? That's the type of shaila that I actually think this Gemara makes a lot of sense to bring into conversation. It's not saying, like, right? Now, I would have said it less formally than we're going to see in a moment, right? If you had asked me, does this Gemara say anything about how you should allocate funds, the answer might be, yeah, even you, because you might say, look, even though not having children is not pikuach nefesh, right? So you might have thought, if I have the money, I should only give it to the emergency room and not to fertility research. This Gemara would tell you that's not true, right? That this is something that is particularly painful and therefore deserves effort to be put in to alleviate it, right? That's like a, I don't know if you would call it halachic as much as it is normative. Right, meaning it has instructive, it has proactive implications to it. Right now, as we'll see, this attempt at it is a bit too formalized for my taste, But look at number six. So he quotes the shaila that was given to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. A guy comes to Rav Zilberstein. I wish someone came to me with the shaila, right? I have billions of dollars. I want to give a fifth of it somewhere. I actually had this as a project once. My final project, the year that I was a Tikva fellow. No, yes. My final project when I was a Tikva fellow. So for 2 years, they had a full year Tikva fund fellowship for postgraduate. So our final project was, if you had $1 billion to disperse philanthropically, what would you do with it? And they were like, the point of $1 billion is it's a lot of money, but it's not infinite, right? So you can't say I would fund everything because it's not infinite, but it's a heck of a lot of money. So what would you do with $1 billion?
It's philanthropically, whatever.
Philanthropy, like tzedakah. What would you do with it? Right. This was their final thought experiment. It was really.
That's
great. It was a really interesting experiment. Because first of all, the guys in the group, some of them said really wild, crazy things.
That's
not tzedakah. It was tzedakah. You have to disperse it.
Oh, it has to be for tzedakah.
That's, I said philanthropically. Yes, philanthropy, tzedakah. Yes. So one person was like, well, in case Iran gets a nuclear bomb and destroys both America and Israel, I want to make sure the Jews survive, so I would fund the creation of a fake island in which there would be, like, I was like, okay. So,
it was you.
No, this was not
really
me.
Focusing on the issues.
I'm on one.
No, this was not me. There was all types of interesting suggestions, right? There was one guy who said he would fund Jewish low culture, right? Like pop culture. Like the creation of movies and things like that that would integrate, because he thought that Judaism, right, especially like, you know, in many sects of Judaism, appeals only to the intellectual, because we're all obsessed with high culture, philosophy, and, you know, things like that. But the average person is much more influenced by low culture, by pop culture, so they create actual equality. Look, interesting attempt. Of course, the funnest part of it was the end of it, because at the end, after we all made our suggestions, Sir Roger Hertog, who's the chairman of the TICFA board, who's actually a billionaire, said, "This is what I do with my billions of dollars." And then what?
What was your idea?
Mine had to do with the Jewish education, but to create sustainability. But it's for another time. I still think it would work if I had $1 billion. But give me $1 billion, and well, hint.
Does
yeah,
it
exactly.
Involve an island? Because if not,
it doesn't involve an island. I'm sorry. Anyways,
I'm out.
Anyway, so this guy came with the actual Shiloh, right? The Roger Hertog Shiloh, right? Is I'm actually going to do this? I actually have billions now. Here's what? What?
Billionaire?
Yeah. He's a billionaire. Yes. Yes.
Contradiction.
He's not a rabbi. He's not from.
Said a rabbi.
No, Roger.
Oh.
Not rabbi. Roger.
Oh, okay.
Roger.
What if rabbi's a billionaire? Come on.
So, anyways. So,
what about the Lord?
He's not a rabbi. Okay. Guys.
Including God to a rabbi?
No, I'm talking about God.
Okay. So the guy asked for Zilberstein. Guys. Stop. So he asked him, he said, what would you do, right, if I want to give to one of these two, right? Now, you could have just asked the Shiloh differently, right? If I'm going to give, should I prioritize one of the four in this list? Maybe, right? But he said, okay, I understand that according to this Gemara, both infertility and blindness are particularly bad. So which cause should I direct my funds at? So he comes up, so he said he asked his brother-in-law, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and he said you should give it to the eye department. Now, again, this is a bit formal for me, but he says because the Rishonim say that when the Mishnah in Psachim, right here, you get some Psachim in, lists the preferences for what could be maror, it just makes a list, but the Rishonim understand that not to just be a list, but a list of preference, meaning all these are kosher, but it's in order. And therefore, since the first one on that list is ani, he's more dead than anybody else, and therefore he should give to that. Yes, because then it got worse, because then the Rav Yitzchak Aryeh Erlich responded, that's very nice, except that only works in the order as presented in Psachim. The problem is that in the different sugyas where this comes up, Nidarim versus Avodah Zarah, they are in different orders, which shows you that it's not that formal. So maybe that two of them are equivalent. His maskana is his maskana is okay, you can't prove it, guys. His maskana is in a Hanami, you can't prove it, it's law of Dafka. So again, now what I would take from this is, this is an attempt that, like I said, I think is a bit too formal, and even by the end they retract on this, but I think that it wouldn't have been crazy for someone to say, look, I want to give to the hospital, and the hospital needs money to fund its fertility wing and to fund its... whatever, it's pediatric wing, right?
Yeah.
Right, meaning to take care of children who are already alive, or the ones, right? And I have enough money to fund one of them, and I want to fund a whole thing,
yeah.
Right? Which should I fund? I don't think it would have been crazy for a POSIC to say... Right?
Fertility.
Right? I don't think it would have been crazy. Again, it's not as...
I also see them saying...
Correct. Again, it's not a formal thing, but...
Is there alive?
You could ever... You could come up... My point is,
yeah.
Right, it's not crazy to take... Because that type of Shaila... My point is, that type of Shaila is not... I'm not saying you're chayev. I'm saying that when Chazal say that certain things are really, really bad...
Right.
That means... Let me translate it right more. That means you should try to alleviate their suffering. Right? Right? And therefore, coming back to what we said before, if it is true that people without children feel like they're social outcasts, then probably one of the practical takeaways from this Gemara should be either help them with fertility, and if you can't, try to counter their natural feeling of loneliness. Right? Meaning, that again, that's not a... That's halachic only in the sense, in the English, in the normative sense. Meaning, there is a practical takeaway from this agarata. Right? And that's the type of thing that I want you to realize, that even when something is not like formal halachic, that doesn't mean it's not normative. That doesn't mean there aren't meant to be practical takeaways from it. Right? Right? If these four people are in particularly in difficult situations, that means that the implication should be, do something.
Right.
Okay? Fine. Another attempt to show you why sometimes these things are really too formalized. Don't worry, Rav Asher Weiss is going to be the hero of this one. Don't worry. Rav Asher Weiss is going to quote an attempt at overformalizing and going to say, you are out of your mind. Don't overformalize this. So, Rav Shlomo Kluger was asked, can you be Mechallel Shabbos to save someone from blindness and with, right? Even if it's not going to actually risk his eye, meaning his eyes are fine, like in the sense that, right, when there's actual danger to the eye, not just to vision,
right?
The Gemara assumes, and this is actually scientifically true, it's connected to the optic nerve, it's actually very dangerous,
right?
But just blindness, right? So Shlomo Kluger comes up, we'll see in a moment whether this is another attempt at which is less crazy, sorry, than what we're seeing right now. But Shlomo Kluger says, yes, you can violate Shabbos to save blindness, even if it is. And then he connects so many bizarre things. He says, Mishum Desfir, Rabbi Yehuda, the Summa Patrim in a Mitzvos, because Rabbi Yehuda paskins that blind people are not chayiv in Mitzvos. Even though it is untrue, we paskin like the chachamim that suma is chayiv in mitzvos. Mikol makom, haravin yirucham bazak dalacha de patim kol mitzvos. After the neged das rov boskim mikoch nevesh in ochon acharov said rov rishonim paskin that suma are chayiv in mitzvos. Rabbin yirucham paskins that they're pater, and even though that's against rov shitot. It's blindness is sort of like death, and therefore we go by the miut because the halacha is that bekuach nevash ein hochan achar harov, and therefore there is a shita upasing Rabbi Yehuda. We came to us as shuma patim and says amrin chalav and shabbos achas ki yishmer shoros is harbe, and therefore according to this logic,
make any sense.
And then he says, according to this logic, since there are two dead in the Gemara that are both accepted according to many shitot of why it's mutter to be mechal Shabbos to save a life, and one of them is chal of Shabbos achas kedei shishmu Shabbos is harbe to violate one Shabbos to make someone chayv another Shabbos, and there's a miut possibility that if he becomes blind, he'll be putter from mitzvah Shabbos.
Oh,
and then at the end of that piece, it gets worse. He says, and he won't be able to learn Torah, and Torah is a really big mitzvah.
What new baal peh?
He doesn't yet know it, Baal Peh, right?
He can teach him Baal Peh.
Maybe. So Rav Asher Weiss says, "Omnam yesh letzmoa al dvarav." I'm sorry. That is astonishing, really. What exactly does this have to do with anything? Maha kesher between what you just said and the halacha you're trying to derive from it. There is nothing in there that made sense. Right? He says, first of all, we don't paskin that way. They are chayv and mitzvos. And he says, second of all, this is not pikuach nefesh. Like, what is this hatzala ruchanit that you have just invented? And he says, and he's chayv in losa says, so even according to you, this doesn't make sense because he is chayv in some mitzvos. And he says, and besides, he could do mitzvos k'misha eino mitzvah v'yos. He's like, first of all, I don't know your analysis. Even according to your own analysis, it makes no sense. Let's move on, right? So you see, there are some attempts which are sort of like derivatives of this in uber extreme ways.
Why don't you say k'mis and therefore it's like, it's Kuruch
Nefesh.
Like, that's still crazy, but like.
I'm not sure. Actually, the next source, I'm not sure I put it so late. Right, this is going back on the Machshavik ones. Was the Gur Aryeh, right? The Gur Aryeh had understood back in the Machshavik one. Why is it that all these are considered dead? He went more in the continuity direction on the Bunim, right? He just said that. I knew it. So I had put someone who said that. I don't know why you put it out of order. Right. That should be obvious. Okay. Fine. However,
What was that?
One of the arguments why people without children are considered dead is because they have no continuity, right? That's pretty obvious. I knew I put a source. I knew I put a source somewhere on it. It just wasn't in the right order, but it was the Gur Aryeh, the Maral. Okay, but despite the weirdness of Shlomo Kluger, mainstream postgame don't sort of build this weird putter mitzvah. Certain postgame do what Zev just said. It's said, yeah. Well, why don't you just take this halachically and say, blindness is like death, and therefore, saving someone from blindness is pikuach nefesh. So this is a machlokas, and they combine that with the fact that the Gemara says that hasakana to an eye is pikuach nefesh, right? Which, like I said, is true, right? Because of the connection to the optic nerve.
If you're really poor, you're also like dead. So if you're about to lose all your money,
that's the kasha, right? Now that's going to be the kasha on all these, and that's what some of the postmen are going to say: is wait a second. If you say it for one, you better say it for all, right? Which is going to be the kasha in hachinami. But let's look at, and that's why I said. But I want to see. I want you just to see as a model, right? So, sort of a test case of the danger of this type of analysis and the weakness in this type. But the reality that poskim often do it. So I gave you a few tshuvot. Sri Deish, who's the Sri Deish? Michiel Yaakov Weinberg.
Of course.
Oh, of course.
He was.
Oh, he wrote a tshuva on tzedakah.
Probably.
Yeah.
He died, I think, in the 70s in Switzerland. Relatively recent. So he wrote, Hashtalad or Eino shall made Badam. Sorry. This is not Pikuach Nefesh Shaila, right? I knew I put a different Shaila first. This isn't Pikuach Nefesh, this is a different Shaila. This is not yet Pikuach Nefesh, but can you violate Kavod HaMeit to give someone their sight back by doing a corneal transplant? Right, this is actually a shot that comes up a lot.
Can you do Kavod HaMeit?
Can you violate Kavod HaMeit, right?
Yes.
By taking the cornea from a dead person and giving it, doing corneal transplant to give sight back to someone who's alive.
Because
corneal transplant you can actually do right posthumously, so you don't get into the brain death shilas here, right? You can do it from a corpse, right? So that was the shila. Okay, that was right. I was like, I knew I put a cool shila. I was like, what, which one did I put? Okay, that's the one I put. So he says, "Be'etzem shela mutar l'arkiv or shel ein amet shel or shel adam iver." He said, I saw this in a journal. I don't remember what it said exactly because I don't have the journal with me. But Rav Unterman, who at the time was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, became the chief rabbi of Israel, Rav Unterman, said it was mutter. And he says, why? So he said, mitam pikuach nefesh. He said, because if iver areyu kemeis, so then this is a type of pikuach nefesh. What are you doing? And what are you doing?
What do you mean?
And,
okay, oh, no.
Okay, guys, maturity. So Rav Unterman took the Agarata seriously. Guys. Rav Unterman took the Agarata seriously and therefore said, if blindness is like pikuach nefesh, so even if it's a violation of Kavod HaMeis, it should be mutter.
Yeah.
Right? Even if there's an Isra Hanam min HaTorah from the mace.
Right.
That was his first svara. Now, he had another svara, which was that Isra Hanam from the mace might not be Daraisa at all. Right, it's a machlokas we've shown him, and therefore it might only be an iser derabanan, and therefore be easier to be makel. Well, that's a good argument, right? And the third argument is this might also not be considered hanam and ames because you're bringing it back to life. The whole point is when you do the implant, the cornea actually becomes part of a live person, right? It's not the same. It's not quite. Right? It's not clear that this is called hanam and ames. Hanam and ames means hana from a dead body, rather than hana from a dead body. That the way of hana is by making it alive again. Okay, those are his three arguments. Okay? The Sri Deish, now, those are all fascinating. Only one of them is relevant to our Agarata. But those are all fascinating arguments, right?
Yeah.
The Sri Deish likes none of them. He says, Al kulam yesh pircha. There's a problem with all of them, right? So, the two later ones, right? Again, we won't get into, right? Which are, well, there are people who say it's Daraisa, and maybe that's how we paskin. Okay, that's not so interesting. Either Daraisa or Zerabanan. The third one, is that true, right? You bring it back to life. Does that mean you didn't get Hana from the dead person? Fine. But for our sugya, right, he says, I don't understand. What is this pikuach nefesh thing you speak of? Why is this pikuach nefesh? Right, he says it's true that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Chav Chesam and Beis says that an ayin shemarda, or if the eye itself is threatening to pop out, right, then that's bikuach nefesh, which again, scientifically, is basically, right, is not untrue, right, the proximity, right, this is why, by the way, right, cancer in the eye, so dangerous,
right,
because it goes to the optic nerve in the brain very, very quickly, right, we had a tragic case when I was in YU of someone who was my age, right, who had a headache one day and 3 days later died because like the cancer went straight, right? It was cancer in the optic nerve and it went straight to the brain, right? Saying like this is not like a joke. Like when we say when Chazal probably didn't fully understand the implications of this, but it is true that danger around the physical eye is, but Sridi Eish says, but that's not right. But he says, that's true with the eye. But that's not true of vision. That's an eye thing.
Right.
If you're just going to lose your vision, he said, it's not pikuach nefesh. And the last line, he says, Va'av sha'amru suma chashuv kemeis, harei amru gamkein sha'ani chashuv kemeis. He says, Shua's point. He says, and don't tell me that it's literal pikuach nefesh. It's pikuach nefesh, even if he's going to be blind without any physical damage to the eye, because arba chashuvim kemeit, because of what Shua said. He said, and what? To save someone from poverty, you can do that too?
Yeah.
Right? That's a great heter.
Yeah, sure.
If I don't do this deal on Shabbos, I will be poor. I'm going to work.
Why not?
Right?
Yeah.
No! Why right? Not? Right? Said, obviously not.
It's a good spot.
Well, you call. You also.
I don't know why not.
It's a good losing your eyes. It's
if,
not
if you hold that it's actually
correct. That's
actually mate. Then okay, if he's actually
what?
Poor, is that why?
No.
We just consider him like a dead person.
Again, guys.
Yeah, why? You just said that it's
silly.
What?
Yes.
No,
that's
no, why?
Guys.
Why didn't you say that?
Because that's crazy. That's obviously crazy. That's a priori. Like obviously insane.
Why? If you say kemeis, right?
Correct, and he's saying, but it is obviously not true because nobody says that. Nobody would say.
I'm saying, yeah.
Well, it's wrong.
Wait, so if someone steals all your money, is chai misa? It's crazy.
What
do you mean?
Someone kills you.
It's kemeis. He made you kemeis.
That's what killing someone is.
He missed you.
Guys, okay, we have no heter on Shabbos. That's clear. We have no heter on Shabbos. That,
you would think yes for the
okay, very simple. Okay, here, I'll prove it.
Avamino, yes.
I'll prove it, okay? You don't like, it's obvious. Here's proof, okay? Guys, Kirsten, second. If someone says to you, I need to violate Malacha on Shabbos, not business, I need to violate Malacha on Shabbos, because otherwise I'll lose all my money. What's the halacha?
Nefesh.
What's halacha?
No.
You can't do it because for any loaf, I say in the Torah, you have to give up all your money rather than the Torah. Meaning, that's the given, right? That's it. That's a halacha. It's a halacha mefureshet.
Right.
So the Sridi Eish's point is, it's all or nothing. Either all of these are mamish bikuach nefesh, in which case this shouldn't be true. But it is true. You can't violate a loaf, I say, even if it means you're going to lose all your money. Haraya, none of these are literal. Haraya. It's not Bikuach Nefesh, right?
Great call. Okay,
Yabi Omer quotes this as well. Yabi Omer quotes a machlokes between himself, Rabbi Chizkel Hadaya, and, Rabbi Vadya Hadaya in Yaskel Avdi, who's like an early 20th century Sephardi Posek, and himself. This tshuva is, Rabbi Vadya takes on Rabbi Hadaya. Rabbi Hadaya says some very surprising things, which we're about to see. Okay? Bidin Yisrael Shiko Einav, a Jew who starts to go blind. Vuzachok lahashtalak krum ein shalmet. And he needs a cornea transplant. Okay? Kidei lahachzir lo mor einav. Farofim amumchim lakach omdim lashtilo krum ein shalmet goy. And he needs it from a goy. Okay? V'af, v'kadav shabu b'shamru chazal suma chashuv kemeis. V'yidei ashal chozir lechayim. Now this is going to be the weirdest thing. Because Rav Hadaya accepts the Gemara's agadic statement and says, he is dead, and therefore, giving him a cornea would bring him back to life. If you just stop there, what should the conclusion be? If you accept the literal understanding of this, it should be mutter. He says, even though I accept the literal understanding, oh no. He loses out more than he gains. What? He's dead. Mechevan shiriyas hagoy ba'olam hazeh, he kula shal sitra achra. Because the sight of goyim in this world is that of the devil.
Oh my God.
Ganu v'gazol v'ratzuach v'niyo v'komine devas v'olam. It's the sight of theft and murder and adultery. Hare mimila yashpia hadavar ala yehudi. Now, by the way, you have to remember, right? This is even weirder because taking a transland from a guy, right, has lesser problems on a formal halachic level in terms of anam and ames. But he says, no, it's usher, because now hare mimela yashpia davar al yehudi hazeh shehushtalo eino shalanachri lirdov acher kol taivas arose. Now having a non-Jewish cornea will make him pursue taiva. V'ninza shema'abit olamo yidekach. So yes, he was brought back to life in this world, but he will lose his world to come. Umutav lo sheyasumo kol yom v'olam hazeh. It's better to be blind in this world. V'yair lo l'olam haba. V'oja kol echam Yisrael kol minishmas kol Yisrael. Wait, it's not. We're not done. We're not. It gets worse. And he says, and all Jewish souls are connected. And therefore, he has now brought the tumah of a goy into a single nisham Israel harir gozim nezek lekol hanishamos maklulos begufo. And then he says, v'ulai lo yakum betchias amesim. He might not have tchias amesim because of this. V'pnei tarovis she'irev begufa, because of what he mixed in his body. L'chena ish ha'yorei le'nafsho. Al yaseh sheker be'nafsho. La'ashtia le'eno krum ayin shel goy re'u kechovel be'nafsho v'domo b'rosho. So this is like a very weird tshuva, because he actually accepts the literal interpretation of the Agadata and says it is pikuach nefesh, and it's still usher because it'll make you a Rasha, destroy the souls of Gantz Klal Yisrael. Though he's a Sephardi, he probably didn't say Gantz. All of Klal Yisrael. Didn't say it in English, but still better than Yiddish. Uh-huh. Right? And and he is, he might not have Tchias HaMesim. And Rav Avadya says, what do you think Rav Avadya says?
The opposite.
You should get revoked. You should not be allowed to...
He says, no. The Hifri is Ma'od Al Hamida. What? Rav Hifri's Ma'od Al Hamida is... Whoa, that was went way too far. Right, that argumentation went way, just, no. Umama od hirchik lechet. He said, what are you talking about, Shulai lo yakum tchias amesim chaz v'shalom? What? Where do you get this notion he won't have tchias amesim? He's like, what? The ein dvarav ela derech hashar v'umdunam ba'alma. That's just a guess, isn't it? Right? What? He's like, because we're shakashtar lead up yasod, if emet chain yasod klal is wrong. That's what you think about Kabbalah, isn't it? But that's just wrong. There is no basis to what you just said. He said, he's like, I don't know what you are. He's just like, I don't know what is going on. And he says, ain lahem yasod, right? He said, it is wrong. There is ain. He said, first of all, you're wrong in Kabbalah. Second of all, even if you were in, I don't care. Because as Rav Avadya Lishitaso thinks that Kabbalah has no bearing in Pesach, and says, Ein anachra achraim l'sodot shelo gilar, he said, I don't care about these secrets, especially those that were not revealed by the Ari. He's like, I don't care about Kabbalah, it doesn't matter. And you're wrong. He says, therefore, he says, I'm willing to accept this more agadically, but lahalacha, and therefore say it is mutter. Why? Because again, yeah, it's sort of pikuach nefesh, but he doesn't take it mamish. He says, look, in the end of the day, having sight really does allow you to be mekayim a lot more mitzvos. It just does, right? Realistically, not like you're not chayev, but like
you the ability to.
And he says, and then he does this Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam.
No, the pasuk that we learned out says that you can be do more.
So he now he doesn't take it straight. What does he do? He doesn't accept the Agadah straight. What does he do? He says, look, blindness is really bad, and that's what the Agadah is telling you. Therefore, it's worth looking for kulot. And I have another svek sveka, which is, maybe hanam and ames is really only derabanan, and maybe it's shalok derech hana'asa, right? And maybe this isn't hanam and ames, because it's coming back to life, like Rav Unterman. And he says, look, no, but think about it.
No,
again, you can like his argument or not. I want to point structurally, right? What's his point? His point is, there's a way of taking this agadata seriously without literally, right? To do the Trumpian right thing, right? Which is, right, is blindness is really bad. And therefore, if I can construct a kula, it's worth relying on it. Right? And he says, I have a good Svek Sveka, which is, maybe Hanaman Ames is only Midarabanan. Maybe this is Shaloka Derech Hana'ah. Right? And therefore it's not Aser either, or at least not Daraisa. And maybe you have Rabon German, which is, Hanaman Ames is only when I'm not going to incorporate the mace back into a live body such that it becomes alive. Be mitzarev of all those shittas together, take the agadata seriously, even if it's not literally. So it's not mamish bigoach nevesh. But it's really, really bad to be blind. And I have makom lekula. And therefore, the agadata will push me in the direction of relying on my svek svekas.
Right.
Right? So again, I want to, if we just take a step out for a moment and think about what's happening here, is you see different models of how to take this agadata. You have the Shridi Eish who says, it's just an agadata, it's not literal, it has no relevance to halacha. You have other, you have Rav Unterman who says, no, it's mamash bikoach nefesh, right, which is take it literally. You have Hadaya who takes it literally and still comes up with a reason why it's asur, which is weird, as Rav Avadya says, but then you have the middle ground, which is no, agadata can have influence on halacha, can have influence on halacha, not in a formal sense, but in a orientation sense, right? Meaning, is I'm not using this to say it's mutter. I'm using it to say it's worth relying on kulot that are, you know, they're not ironclad, but there is a real makom and halacha to be makil, and if there's room to be makil, and Chazal tell you that blindness is really bad and call it like maize, that means I should at least take it seriously and rely on kulot, because when things are serious, and Chazal tell you they're serious, that's when you rely on kulot and svek sveka.
Right.
Right? I think that's a different model. Again, you can quibble with any particular argument he makes. Now, there is another way of taking this. Now, in a different tshuva, though, when it comes down to Kenyvim Mechal Shabbos, because Rav Avadya is not convinced that this is literal, he says, no. Right, so you understand, he's taking it seriously, but not literally. Because in number 11, he says, no, if you're not, the eye is not in danger, you only, it's a chash of blindness, that's not called sakana. Right, so you see, he's taking it dafka, seriously, but not literally. Right, it's not mamish b'guach nevesh, it is serious, and therefore, if the question is chil Shabbos, then what do you need? You need it to be literal, because you need it to be mamish b'guach nevesh. If the question is other isurim, which might only be derabanan, then what do you need? You need to take it seriously, but you don't need it to be mamish b'guach nefesh. The Tzitz Eliezer, on the other hand, takes it literally, and he says, no, it's kash of kemes, and therefore if someone is in the danger of blindness, then you can be mechal Shabbos. And that's another example of someone taking it more literally.
They also like tummy mace?
So again, there has to be some limit, and that's really going to be the kasha on doing it. Okay, a few points. How much do we have time to do a few sort of random points, or no? Probably not.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying mincha wise.
No,
we don't. No. Okay, so we'll end there. Maybe next week I'll spend just 5 minutes summarizing the last things here, and we'll go on to.